Welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt, your host. And today we have, to paraphrase the old rock and roll song, a whole lot of Shakespearean going on. This is the anniversary of Shakespeare's birth and death, as is yesterday. Today we have two guests on who are doing one of Shakespeare's most popular plays. The play is Macbeth, performing at Cyrano's opening tonight. And we have Mark Robocoff, who is playing, among other parts, Macbeth. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
We also have Paul Schweigert, a local actor who many people remember has left town, has come back just to do this show. He's doing Macduff as well as Banquo. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, this is one of Shakespeare's most popular plays, and David Edgecombe is directing this, and we know this is perhaps his last show in Anchorage before he and Liz leave to go off other places. Mm-hmm. And I just know David's going to have something special to do with this show. So tell us about Macbeth and how it's being produced at Cyrano's.
Well, David is, of course, a Shakespeare aficionado and is well known for his Shakespeare productions. And he has a habit of, he really likes to make them timeless. Rather than putting them in the strict period that they were written, he tends to bring them into a modern era, but also keep it somewhat timeless. And he's definitely done that with this. This is a modern adaptation. The language is, of course, all still the same. But he has managed to bring this play into a very contemporary framework.
Is it fair to say how he's done that, Paul, or is it something that we need to go to see to find
out? I think I don't want to ruin any of the surprises, but I can tell you that David has pulled out all the stops, every technical element that there is, sound, lights, projections, costumes, you name it, we've done it in this show. So he's not holding anything back.
And I guess it's no secret, it's pretty well known around town, that has a smaller cast than is the number of characters in the show, and some people are playing more than one role. I mentioned that two of you are playing more than
Everyone
one role.
Everyone is.
Yes.
And Paul, you're playing interesting combination of Banquo and Macduff.
Yes.
And previous to our show today, you were talking about how they're completely different characters and how you've had a challenge to make them completely different. So
yeah,
tell us a little bit about how you've done that.
Well, I am actually one of the lucky ones in the cast because I only have two parts to play, and most of the other actors play several parts, so they have even more work to do than I do. But that being said, I always start with the script in Shakespeare. You always start with the script, and you take account of everything that your character says, period, about anything, including themselves, and you take into account what other people say about your character. And from that, you make decisions about what type of a person they are. Are they kind and friendly? Are they short-natured? Whatever. And I found a very distinct difference between these two characters because Banquo is, ironically, in a tragedy, his character is loaded with humor. And he finds opportunities to make light in situations more than any other character in the play. And for that reason, I was able to make certain choices about him that are very different than Macduff. Macduff is, he's almost clerical in nature. He's always very concerned with exactly what's right, what is the due process of the way things should be. And Banquo is much more relaxed about things. And so that was my starting point for where I began in finding a difference between these two guys, was just finding a difference in their natures. And from there, then you can make choices about their vocal rhythms and patterns and whether or not they have an accent, physical differences in terms of how that manifests itself in that character's personality, that sort of thing.
You know, what Paul just said reminded me something. One of the very first things I learned from David Edgecombe in the very first play he directed me in, which was King Lear with Jerry Harper.
I saw that show.
Yeah, yeah. And when we first did the table read, the sit-around read through of the script, David said, now, I'm sure you've all highlighted your lines, but now I want you to go through the script again with a different color highlighter and highlight anything any other character says about your character. And that was such a valuable tool to me. I've done it in every play I've ever done since, because you can learn a lot about your character from your own lines, but you can, I think, learn a lot more about your character by what the other characters say about you.
Mm-hmm. You know, that brings up an interesting question. so many productions of Shakespeare have been done over the years, and so much has been written about all these plays and about your characters. And yet you're talking about going to the script to find out the information about your characters. Are you being influenced at all by outside influences, or are you going just directly from the source? Or I see a smile here. Perhaps there's a, does this sort of
story? Well, we try not to. You know, when you take on a famous role, you know, there's kind of a rule of thumb that you don't go right out and rent the movie and watch what the most famous person in the world did with it. You try to avoid that and make your own decisions. That said, I will admit to having watched the Patrick Stewart movie about a year ago, just to see what he did with it. But I made sure I gave it a lot of time between watching the movie and performing the role, so I didn't allow myself to be too influenced by Mr. Stewart.
Right.
Well, Mark, let's talk about your part. You're playing Macbeth, as well as...
Well, I play another very minor character that shows up briefly and has about four lines, and I'm not recognizable. Anyway,
okay.
So for the most part, I'm just Mr. M.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the director will actually cast the same actor in different parts because the parts have some similarities. And Paul, I can see how Banquo and Macduff have similarities in their differences or their relationships with Macbeth.
Certainly, yes. I mean, they're both members of the military, as is Macbeth. Banquo is much closer to being, if not his actual rank equal. I see Macduff as being somehow slightly lower ranked. He wasn't involved in the war that they are returning from at the very beginning of the play. So that's part of where I began with, so he wasn't carrying a weapon. He's more of a clerical guy of some kind. And so I was able to make some choices about him as a character because of just the differences in their starting points, like you're saying,
right,
their relationships to Macbeth.
Yeah, another big difference there is that Banquo and Macbeth start out as buddies.
Exactly.
Close friends.
Right.
Very close friends.
And I want to get to Macbeth here in just a moment, but before we do, this is Stage Talk with my guests, Mark Robocoff and Paul Schweigert, who are in Cyrano's production of Macbeth by Shakespeare, opening tonight and running through for several weeks now. And
Four weekends, I think.
Four weekends, plus a tour. We will be touring this production, which is part of the reason we are casting Macbeth with eight actors,
right.
Which means that several of the actors are playing four, five, six roles, mm-hmm. literally. But yes, four weekends in Anchorage. It's an Edgware production playing at Cyrano's, and then we will travel to Homer on Memorial Day weekend, Yakutat the weekend after that, and Seward the weekend following.
Interesting, taking Shakespeare out. Yeah. Well, Mark, I want to talk to you about Macbeth, because that is one of the most challenging roles, I think, in Shakespeare.
It's certainly a dream role.
So tell us about how you've approached it. Are you doing anything besides watching the Patrick Stewart movie? What else are you doing with that role that you're bringing to it?
Well, it makes sense to do a little bit of reading and research before one approaches a role like this. And one of the things that I found ubiquitously described about Macbeth was he is the only Shakespeare villain that shows his conscience, and he shows it very clearly. This villain, if the term even applies, starts at the top of the play as a pretty decent human being, somebody that you could get along with, somebody that you could like. And it's through the influences of supernatural forces and his wife that he begins a character arc that is a much more broad and soul-searching character arc than certainly any other Shakespeare villain, and probably equal to any other Shakespeare character.
And I feel, just personally, that Macbeth almost seems to be sympathetic, especially at the end when he has this fight with Macduff. He realizes his fate, and he goes on through with it anyway.
Yes, his conscience carries through to the end, but by that point it is severely eroded. The play is definitely about pride and hubris, but as David pointed out, and he did some reading on this, the play is very, very much about fear. The word fear shows up in the script dozens of times. It is laced throughout in everybody's characters. And this is a play. It's about pride. There's violence, blood, and gore, and death. But this is a play about fear.
Interesting. Because this is almost the Aristotelian definition of a tragedy, where you have the character who succumbs to an overabundance of a character trait, his being ambition or pride.
Yes.
But you're saying it's more fear.
Well, the play itself is about fear. Yeah, Macbeth specifically is probably more about hubris, but the entire play has an overriding theme of fear.
Every single character fears something or someone or multiple things, and it depends on which character you're talking about and what point in the play. Lady Macbeth fears anonymity, which is why she seeks the crown, right? She then, once she develops a conscience, she fears eternity, the afterlife. I'm sure all of those things and far more than I'm mentioning, but, you know, depending on the character, if you're a simple messenger who's being threatened by Macbeth on a daily basis with your very life, then that's what you fear. All of the major characters have something or multiple things that they are anxious about.
Yeah, if you watch the play if you kept a little counter in your pocket and ticked off the number of times somebody says the word fear or fearful or fearless.
Afeared.
Yes, something like that. You realize that's what this play is about.
It is Shakespeare's shortest play.
It is indeed.
And also, some would say, and I was in a production years ago where the director made it his bloodiest play.
Then that's hard to do because there's some bloody plays.
There are some bloody plays. Well, we won't talk about Titus.
Titus Andronicus. Let's do Titus.
How much of that is coming through in this production in terms of the violence and just the speed of the play?
I would say a pretty fair amount, Stephen. This is, I don't know, PG-16, PG-13.
No profanity. There's no nudity, but it's laced with violence.
You can't do Macbeth without some violence and gore. We need to see the dark side of
humanity.
These characters, yes.
Yeah. Well, Paul, a moment ago you mentioned that Banquo was a bit comical, mentioning going to the dark side. You're saying that Shakespeare has to balance it with something, doesn't he?
He absolutely does. In all of his tragedies, there are moments of levity. And, even in Hamlet, you know, there are moments of levity. And some of those come from other characters. Some of those come from Hamlet and his own behavior. In this particular tragedy, there are very few, I mean, just a handful of moments where there is any comical, you know, atmosphere at all. And so I'm very happy with the direction that I've taken Banquo because he provides a lightness throughout the entire first half of the play. Not just in, particular moments, but the only overt comical moment in the whole play is the porter scene. Probably.
The porter scene, which many people are familiar with. And it gives the audience a chance to relax and laugh before we get back into the blood and gore. But that porter scene also kind of, if you listen to that, it also informs what the play is about.
There's fear in that scene.
Yes. One of the porter's favorite words seems to be equivocator and equivocation. He says that, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. Several of the other characters in the play also use the word equivocator or equivocation, and that is another underlying theme of the play. I get the feeling that somebody gave Bill Shakespeare a raw deal just before he wrote this play, and some of his resentment lingered through the words because he does not like equivocation, and I think that's what the witches represent.
Interesting. Maybe this is a good birthday present for Bill.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Well, we're about 1 minute left in the show. Just want to ask if you guys have any last things you want to say about the show. Any positive or comments you want the audience to leave with?
Well, at the risk of trying to sell tickets, I have personally seen, I would say, 6 or 7 productions of Macbeth, and this is one of the most ambitious undertakings, especially in this very small, intimate space in Cyrano's, and I highly recommend it.
Sounds like a great show.
It's also a very accessible play to people who are not extremely well-versed in Shakespeare. If they want to see their first Shakespeare play, Macbeth is a fine one to see because it will draw them in and make them want to see more. Right. It's a quick show. It's 2 1-hour acts. With an intermission, very accessible.
Sounds great. Well, my guests today have been Mark Rubikoff and Paul Schweigert from Cyrano's production of Macbeth, which opens tonight. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
For more information about the show, visit alaskapublic.org, go to Stage Talk, and click on the Stage Talk calendar for this show and other shows playing in the area. Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.